2 Peter 1, verse 5, Peter says, in view of all this, in view of these promises, priceless inheritance, protection until Christ comes back, His Holy Spirit, that enabling power, make every effort to respond to God's promises, supplement or add to your faith a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Now, last week we talked about patient endurance, and so today I want to talk about godliness. Where does godliness come from? Where does godliness come from? God, right? The answer is God, right? What does it mean to be godly? What does it mean to be godly? It simply means to be like God, to be like God. When are you and me most like God? When are we most like God? And I would say perhaps when we give people what they don't deserve. Perhaps we're most like God when we give other people, be it the people we work with, people here in town, right? People maybe we don't even always like, right? We saw in this opening video this lady having some difficulties with her husband's ex, right? So when are we most like God? Maybe when we give people what they don't deserve. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the story of Joseph. Now, most of you know that story, but just to kind of recap a little bit, his brothers hated him. His brothers hated him. Why? Because their father loved him more than the rest of them. And so what did they do? They threw him into a cistern. They threw him into a well. And then some Israelite traders happened to come by, and they sold Joseph to them. And these Israelite traders, in turn, sold Joseph to Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Now, Potiphar noticed there was something different about Joseph, that the Lord was with Joseph. And so Potiphar put him in charge of his entire household, right? What else happened? Because Joseph was handsome and well-built, Potiphar's wife noticed him. And she tried to get him to sleep with her, but Joseph refused. In fact, he ran out of the room, leaving his robe or his cloak behind. She, in turn, told her husband that Joseph tried to rape her. Potiphar was furious, and he threw Joseph in prison. Now, while in prison, God used Joseph to interpret some dreams. Specifically, a dream that the chief cupbearer to Pharaoh had, right? Joseph interpreted this dream that the chief cupbearer to Pharaoh had, right? He interpreted the dream for him, and he told him to remember him when he was restored to his position as chief cupbearer. However, the cupbearer, what? You know the story. The cupbearer forgot all about Joseph. Didn't even give him another thought. But God didn't forget about Joseph. And if I could pause here just for a moment, God didn't forget about you. God didn't forget about you and your situation today. The things that you're struggling with, the things that may be heavy on your heart, right? Maybe it's a health issue that you're having or someone in your family. Maybe it's a work issue, right? Whatever it is, God hasn't forgotten about you. Well, one day Pharaoh had a dream. And the cupbearer suddenly remembered Joseph. And so he told Pharaoh about Joseph. Right? Joseph interpreted Pharaoh. someone could see there was something different about Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. God was using Joseph to rescue his people from the upcoming famine. And so that's where we kind of left off. Let's jump right back into Scripture. Genesis 42, verse 1. When Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why are you standing around looking at one another? I've heard there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we'll die." So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain. But Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin, go with them for fear some harm might come to him. So Jacob's sons arrived in Egypt along with others to buy food, for the famine was in Canaan as well. Now, maybe there's a famine in your world, right? In your bubble where you're living today. Maybe things have begun to dry up in your marriage. Or maybe you're single and you're like, "Ed, I haven't had a date in like forever," right? Or maybe you're having some financial difficulties. You thought you had more money in the bank, and as it turns out, the cupboards are empty. Maybe you thought so-and-so was your friend. You thought this person was your friend. Come to find out, they didn't invite you, right? They didn't invite you to the party. And now you feel there's this oddness, that you feel like the odd one left out. Well, Joseph's brothers didn't invite him to the party. They didn't include him. And as the old saying goes, what goes around comes around. God saw how his brothers were treating him. They weren't acting with godliness. How were they acting? With jealousy. They were jealous. What do we know about jealousy? Well, James says this in James 3:15. "For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find what? Disorder and evil of every kind." Well, there is a lot of disorder and evil in this family, right? Looking at this story, the story of Joseph, this family was dysfunctional, right? A lot of disorder, a lot of evil, and now they're going to have to pay for it. And ironically, it was to their brother Joseph that they would have to pay it back to. Continuing on in verse 6. "Since Joseph was governor of all of Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was to him that his brothers came." Oh, the irony. "When they arrived, they bowed before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph recognized his brothers instantly. But he pretended to be a stranger and he spoke how? He spoke harshly to them. 'Where are you from?' he demanded. 'From the land of Canaan,' they replied. 'We've come to buy food.' Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him, and he remembered the dreams he had about them many years before. He said to them, 'You guys, you're spies. You have come to see how vulnerable our land has become.'" Now, why did Joseph speak to his brothers this way? Why did he speak harshly to his brothers? Because he wanted to test them. He wanted to test them. He wanted to see if they regretted what they had done and how they had treated. He wanted to see if anything had changed in their lives. Here's the thing. change in our lives. How did the brothers respond? How did they respond? Let's continue in our story. Verse 10. No, my Lord, they exclaimed. Your servants have simply come to buy food. We're all brothers here, members of the same family. We are honest men. Sir, we are not spies. Yes, you are, Joseph insisted. You have come to see how vulnerable our land has become. Sir, they said, there are actually 12 of us. We, your servants, are all brothers. Son of a man living in the land of Canaan. Our youngest brother is back there with our father right now. And one of our brothers is no longer with us. But Joseph insisted, as I said, you are spies. This is how I will test your story. I swear by the life of Pharaoh that you will never leave Egypt unless your youngest brother comes here. One of you must go and get your brother. I'll keep the rest of you here in prison. Then we'll find out whether or not your story is true. But, or by the life of Pharaoh, if it turns out that you don't have a younger brother, then I'll know that you are spies. Could it be that you're in the situation you're in today because you've made some bad decisions? Could it be? Could it be that you're in a situation today because you've made some bad decisions? The truth is, we've all made some bad decisions in our lives. Here's the thing. You may feel like you're in prison today. You may feel that way. Because of the things that have happened to you in your life, you may feel like you're in prison. However, God's not going to leave you there, right? Your life's not over. God's not just going to leave you there. Continuing on in verse 17. So Joseph put them all in prison for 3 days. But that was sobering. On the third day, Joseph said to them, I'm a God-fearing man. If you do as I say, you will live. If you are really honest men, choose one of your brothers to remain in prison. The rest of you may go home with grain for your starving family. But you must bring your youngest son back to me. I want to see him. I want to see this boy. This will prove that you are telling the truth and you will not die. To this, they agree. What is it God wants you to do in this season of your life? What is it that God wants you to do right now in this season of your life? It may be to reflect on the past. It may be to take a moment and to reflect on the past. What is it you'd do differently if you had to do it all over again? I imagine there are some things we'd all do differently in our lives if we had to do it all over again. I guarantee Joseph's brothers wish they had handled things differently, right? When this situation arose here, they're like, oh man, wish we didn't handle that the way we did. How do I know this? Just listen to what they said. Continuing on in verse 21. Speaking among themselves, the brothers, they said, clearly we are being punished because of what we did to Joseph long ago. We shouldn't have treated him the way we did. We saw his anguish when he pleaded for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why we're in this trouble. Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy Reuben asked? But you wouldn't listen. answer for his blood. Of course, they didn't know that Joseph understood them, for he was speaking to them through an interpreter. Now he turned away from them and began to weep. When he regained his composure, he spoke to them again. Then he chose Simeon from among them and had him tied up right before their eyes. That had to be quite a picture, quite a scene. Well, now they're in a real predicament, these brothers, right? They're in a real predicament. Would they bring Benjamin with them back to Egypt? Would they do that? Would they bring their younger brother back with them to Egypt? Better yet, would they just leave Simeon behind? We lost another brother. Talk about being between a rock and a hard place. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe that's where you're at today. Everything seems to be falling apart right now. Maybe you don't know where to go or what to do next. You're like, yeah, Ed, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do with this decision that I have in front of me right now. I guarantee that you're not alone in that feeling here this morning. Where did the brothers go? Where did they go? They went home to their father. How did their father react to the news? Now another son is missing? Another son is gone? Verse 36. Jacob exclaimed, "You are robbing me of my children. Joseph is gone. Simeon is gone. And now you want to take Benjamin too? Everything is going against me." You ever feel like everything is going against you in life? But Jacob replied, "My son will not go down to Egypt." He's not going down there with you boys. His brother Joseph is dead, and he is all I have left. If anything should happen to him on your journey, you would send this grieving, white-haired man to his grave. Perhaps, you've been grieving. Maybe in your heart and in your soul and deep down, you've been grieving internally. And you feel like everyone and everything is against you right now in your life. Right? You feel that way. Like everything at work and in the family or in society, everything you feel is against you. And if you're feeling this way, what is it you need to do if you're having these internal thoughts and feelings? You need to step it up. You need to get serious about your relationship with the Lord. You need to put your life on the line. Did any of Joseph's brothers do this? Did they put their life on the line? Yeah. Verse 8. Judah said to his father, "Send the boy with me, and we will be on our way. Otherwise, we're all going to die. We'll all die of starvation, and we're going to starve to death. And not only we, but you and our little ones, I personally guarantee his safety. You may hold me responsible. If I don't bring him back to you, then let me bear the blame forever." What is being a man or woman of God all about? What is being a man or woman of God all about? It's about laying our lives down for others. It's about laying our lives down for others. Jesus said this in John 15, 12. "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Who are you laying your life down for? goes to show I'm not godly. I'm not godly. Godliness is something I'm lacking. Someone who is godly does the things God does. So godliness is something I need to add to my faith. I need to add this characteristic, as I do every one of them, to my faith. Where does godliness start? Where does it start? It starts with a willingness to put others, to put people ahead of ourselves. What does this mean for me personally? It means I must break my routine, which I don't like to break my routine because I'm inherently selfish. What does it mean for you? It may mean you think about how you're treating your spouse. It may mean that you think about how you're treating yourself. Are you laying your life down for them? It may mean that you think about how you're treating the people you work with, the people you see every day. It may mean that you invite them to your party, even though they didn't invite you to theirs. That's where the rubber meets the road. Can we learn from our mistakes and rise above our circumstances? Can we learn from our mistakes and rise above our circumstances? Judah did. Judah here, he said, I personally guarantee his safety. I will take responsibility. I'll lay my life down for him. When are we most like God? When are we most like God? When we give people what they don't deserve, right? Did Joseph give his brothers what they didn't deserve? We're going to have to come back in 2 weeks to find out. Or read your Bible, right? Read the story. Oh, I know you know the story. Right? You know he gave them what they didn't deserve. In the meantime, godliness should be our focus. Why? Because we want people to be able to see God in us. I pray that all the time, right? God, I pray that I would disappear and that people would see you in me and want to get to know you. If we're not doing the things God does, i.e., loving people who are mean to us, if we're not doing the things God does, loving, right? He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, right? If we're not doing the things God does, loving people who are mean to us, then it will be hard for people to see God in us. Why don't people see God in me? A lot of times it's because I'm not loving people like I should. I'm not demonstrating godliness. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, yeah, there are some people in my life I have a hard time loving. My ex, right? Or my spouse's ex, or my cousin, or my aunt, or my uncle, or my mom, or my dad, or this coworker, or this boss, or this lady at the Walmart checkout. She just gives me a hard time every